Welcome to Good Dogs. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host Carol Borden, who founded and runs Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs, where they breed, raise, and train and place these companion working dogs with people who need them, and all for no cost. We both believe that all dogs can be good dogs, but that dog training starts with people training. And the better you understand your dog, the better you can communicate with them and make them the best canine citizens they can be. This is not specifically a training show. It's also understanding dogs from the outside in, how to read their body language and what they're telling you, and from the inside out, to know that each dog's an individual and needs to be seen as such and lived with alongside us with joy and compassion. I am so pleased to have Kim Brophy back. You guys remember that we talked about her amazing dog training ethology project, The Dog's Truth. And now I've asked her to come back, which is how I originally met her, actually, because of a very interesting article she wrote in Mark Beckoff's column for Psychology Today, which kind of debunked a heavily covered topic or story, supposedly a scientific study, that it doesn't really matter what breed your dog is, that has nothing to do with how it's going to behave. And when I read about that study, I thought, oh, bullpucky. That's what I thought. But Kim Brophy wrote a very smart and very interesting article saying the same thing, but with much better language. Kim, welcome back to the show. It's wonderful to talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
I loved reading your article because I think one of the things that most irritates me nowadays is, and I think we need to have a whole separate continuing conversation about the fact that there are so-called scientific studies or research projects that are funded, or maybe not funded, but I like to be a little cynical and say they're funded. And the people putting the study together have to come up with a kind of a sexy idea or a sexy title. And this one, well, that may not have been its intention. Every single publication that I've come across in the non-pet industry says, yeah, breed doesn't matter. Your German Shepherd, your Jack Russell, your Beagle, they're all just dogs. And really, they're not different from each other at all. Talk a little bit, as an applied ethologist and a family dog mediator, which is a field that you've pretty much created, what is wrong with that thinking of the 24 international scientists that did this kind of citizen science project where people answered questions and then convinced the 24 supposedly very smart scientists that there was no difference between the Dachshund, the Dalmatian, the Great Pyrenees, or any other purebred dog?
Right. Well, like you, of course, when the headlines came out, I was lamenting the inevitable implications societally for this, right? Because the public has already been so confused for so long in this ongoing nature-nurture debate, which for the last few decades has been dominated by the narrative, it's all how you raise them, right?
Right.
So, and that, of course, being in our shoes as behavior consultants and professional trainers for decades, has been a real challenge, because then what you have is kind of folks set up for the wrong kinds of expectations about the dogs that they're bringing in their home, believing that if I just provide A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then the dog will be tabula rasa exactly as I want it to be because I am the one raising it. And then conversely, when they run into things that are not fitting their expectations as they've stuck that square peg in the round hole, they then turn it around and blame themselves. So it's kind of a no-win situation, right? The dog is like set up for failure and, you know, basically exhibiting potentially all of these behaviors that humans have painstakingly bred into them for generations, only to then find that the person does not want them to express that behavior that our ancestors painstakingly developed into that breed of dog, and that they expect a trainer to turn it off like a switch through dog training, which is not how genetics and instincts work. So it's been very frustrating, frankly, even within the industry, the conversation about genetics has literally been taboo. I was out on a limb for decades in my field, was even called things like a dog racist for simply saying that genetics are a component. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was weird because I, coming from a background of applied ethology, which is, you know, basically ethology is studying animals in their natural habitat. And applied ethology takes that kind of evolutionary basis for behavior and the suitability to conditions and ecosystems. And it looks at what goes wrong in captive and domesticated species like companion animals, farm animals, zoo animals, et cetera. So for me, it was kind of like, it was all spelled out. The writing was on the wall. The reasons for the dysfunction made perfect sense why dogs are having all these modern behavior problems, because we keep getting a further and further cry from the original conditions we bred them to function and perform these specific behaviors in. And our expectations keep getting just, you know, far more ridiculous in terms of wanting them to just be passive and
right.
sedentary.
Compliant.
Indoor,
biddable.
Compliant.
Yeah.
Right. Literally to where it's like we've been conditioned to this idea through pet marketing in the industry that all dogs are supposed to be obedient minions, and there's something wrong with them if they're not, which frankly also flies in the face of everything that we also know about everything else in nature.
Yes.
So as far as the study's concerned, here's some really interesting kind of stuff about the study. So again, I was completely lamenting these headlines, and I actually knew a couple of the authors on the study. So I reached out to them immediately. And what was really interesting, and that, of course, this is the kind of stuff we don't know as the public when we're reading all these headlines and stuff, right?
Right.
Many of the authors, or at least some of the authors, let's say, I can't speak for more than a couple that I spoke with, some of the authors are quite opposed to how the conclusions were shared
right.
with the public.
Right.
And they said, no, this is not what the study showed. As a matter of fact, so going through the paper with a couple of these individuals and listening to some podcasts in which they've kind of interpreted the data for us more from a scientific perspective
right.
instead of a pop culture
right,
headline
right.
perspective. They said, no, actually, here's what's really interesting is that where we did ask, as I alluded to in the Psychology Today piece with Mark Beckoff, where we did ask about things that were the kinds of behaviors dogs have been bred to express over the years, we absolutely saw the differences. And so we had all of these wonderful data points that demonstrated, in fact, breed and genetics is a powerful component, element, contributing to a dog's behavior, and particularly when it is a specifically developed kind of behavior related to things like the predatory sequence. So modifications to that through herding or pointing, or where we didn't want the animal to complete the predatory sequence. So it actually affirmed the importance of genetics in behavior. However, because so many of the kinds of questions that it was asking were not the types of things you would expect to differ between breeds, as I also alluded to in the article,
yes.
like whether a dog crosses their paws when they lay down or circle before they poop, or, you know, even things like do they feel compelled to greet a person when you come into your home? Do they seem to like have to meet a person when they come in? Which is interesting because a dog, for a variety of reasons, could feel compelled to go greet a person, sometimes to investigate them as a potential threat, sometimes
right.
to just to greet them in a friendly manner. And the questions weren't asked in a way that could split out those differences. So what was so concerning is the kind of one-liner, as you said, that inspired your contacting me in the first place of, hey, the study says that 9% or less of your dog's behavior is going to be influenced by genetics, which is just profoundly wrong, oversimplistic, and actually not representing what the research study was trying to say in the first place. Now, 9% of the questions they asked were things that pointed back to some correlation with behavior. But it's one of those things, right? If you ask the wrong questions, you're going to get the wrong
exactly.
answers. So, you know, I don't mind that they asked the questions they did, and actually they got a bunch of really interesting stuff out of the study that isn't being reported because of the sexy headline being in the way, and nobody's getting the benefit of all that really interesting information because it got drowned out in this really erroneous interpretation of the results. So that's where, like you, I look back and I go, gosh, how often does this happen, right? Where we have a study come out, and maybe there's really good science in there. This is actually a very well-designed study. It was peer-reviewed. It has a number of highly respected authors on the paper. But there was a couple individuals who spoke for the paper, and they misinterpreted or made overreaching extrapolations of the data.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that, of course, well, that's just sexy fodder for the press, right? So they're going to run with that and say, wow, it's really just all how you raise them after all. We finally have the confirming evidence. And what people don't understand is that as much as this seems like it's from a place of great intentions, like yes, every dog, of course, is an individual, right? Just like people are individuals, just like any animal is an individual, but it's not despite their genetics. It's
right.
because of their genetics and their environment and their learning and their individual self, all of those components that together form that recipe of who that individual is. And I'm just so worried about the future of dogs, as people who will now go out and feel like they have carte blanche to get any breed that they want just because they like how it looks. They saw it in a movie. They've just always
right.
kind of had a thing for them.
Yeah.
And then that dog becomes like an animal, literally a fish out of water, in the wrong habitat, wrong pressures, wrong expectations, where everyone is going to end up frustrated and failing. So we're
absolutely brilliantly said. So you look at it from so many different perspectives that people listening might think, well, okay, but, you know, labs are the most popular dog in America and maybe even in England. I'm not sure. So, mm-hmm. and that's the Weimaraner speaking for herself. but labs are, you know, they're either purpose-bred labs or either bred to be hunting dogs or companion animals. So there's two very different kinds of labs. And if you accidentally, in buying a dog, which I am not opposed to people doing, as you all know,
yep.
at all, I mean, give money to your shelter. Volunteer at your mm-hmm. shelter, foster a dog mm-hmm. if you can, but you're still allowed in a free America uh-huh. to buy a dog. But you got to understand what you're buying, because if you buy a high drive hunting lab, he's not going to be the guy lying at your feet in front of the TV set. He's going
right.
to be looking to hunt, and he needs to do that a lot of hours of the day, driven by genetics. Similarly, there are people, so there's that issue. Which is, there's lines of dogs, whether even golden retrievers that you mentioned in the article, and I'm going to put a link to the article because it's wonderfully written and sees it, you know, from global 360 perspective, and forces us all to be smart, which I beg you mm-hmm. all to be. Any headline that says there's a conclusion to this study by 24 brilliant genius dog experts from around the world, and they've decided pit bulls don't have any particular characteristics, and hey, neither do border collies. Well, both those statements would be brutally wrong, dreadfully mm-hmm. wrong, tragically wrong. And by the way, a Belgian Malinois, like you saw in the movies recently, holy mm-hmm. cow. That is
right.
just, that is, I've always said, a loaded AK-47 and super in the right situation with the right
yeah.
handler who understands what they've got. But, you know, right. you mentioned the dog industry. And I want to be very clear that in my view, the dog industry is not breeders, dog shows, and sales of dogs exclusively. It's also mm-hmm. the rescue community. And the rescue mm-hmm. community has the same kind of pressures on them, or actually quite mm-hmm. different ones, about how to place certain dogs in certain homes and the decisions mm-hmm. that they make. So to say that a dog with six characteristics, it must be because he or she was abused. Maybe mm-hmm. it's not. Maybe it's a dog
right.
bred originally, even if a mutt, strongly mm-hmm. part of, let's say, a Great Pyrenees. Those are guard mm-hmm. dogs. They're not mm-hmm. friendly dogs. In Italian, they're called maremmanos, and they're really dangerous. Do not approach mm-hmm. one, even if they're just near their house. I can tell you that because I did it once, going, oh, my friend Jill has one in Massachusetts with her little flock, and Chloe's so sweet. They're not bred to be sweet. They're bred to guard against everything and anything, even if there's no sheep there, right?
And that's why, like, so, you know, I actually have a Pyrenees mix. And
oh, how
so,
funny.
You know,
how funny that
is.
I should bring it up.
I love her. She's actually my favorite dog I've ever had, but she's the least pro-social with strangers dog that I've ever had.
I'm so
had
glad
well.
You confirmed that. Thank
it's
God.
Normal, you
thank
know?
God when talking to an ethologist, I said something that held water. No, not that I ever say things I know to be wrong, but I mean, I felt that was so dramatic because they look, you know, like Nana the St. Bernard and Peter
yeah.
Pan, and you think, oh, they're just big cuddle bunnies, and they're not. So
well,
it's,
and they,
it's that
here's
issue.
The fun thing is that they can be, right? It's
oh,
so
sure.
specific. It's like, it's about what they perceive as a threat. And
that's
so this
right.
is why the,
mm-hmm.
the nature and nurture, not just nature either, right? It's
yes.
because depending on that individual's environment, learning opportunities, individual unique traits of the crapshoot of what genetics they happen to get or not, they could be an outlier in the standard deviation for the genetic norm
yes.
and average. You know, so there's all of these complicated factors that don't get talked about. And when we talk about genetics, we tell people it's not predictive. This shouldn't tell you this dog will exhibit these behaviors.
Right.
But it definitely gives you a point of reference for what the intended selected pressures were and what the average expectation would be. Stanley Coren just wrote another wonderful article that's in Psychology Today about this particular research study. And he used a really interesting example of the height in men and women and average heights in men and women. And about if you say needed someone that was a particular height, a certain, you know, say height in order to reach something, on average, you would select a male to do the job because if it's higher, they're going to be more likely to be able to reach it. But of course, we have outliers. We have men that are much shorter than average and women that are much taller than average. But it's kind of like you take a group of individuals and you can make kind of projections, but you don't make assertions. And I think that's a minutia we have to be able to embrace, which is you could end up with a guardian breed dog that has no protective instincts at all. And you could end up with a golden retriever who doesn't want to give a stranger the time of day.
That's right.
All those things are possible.
Yes.
And that's okay. And it actually doesn't contradict in the way that people might say, well, because this one is an exception to the rule, you can't say that genes matter. Well, no, all those things, and this is true in science and nature, those kinds of contradictions do often hold space in the same space.
Of course.
And so, you know, when we're talking about it, it's kind of like, okay, so if I had the expectation getting a Pyrenees mix that she was going to be a social butterfly with everyone, particularly with other dogs, because they're bred as livestock guardian breeds to be particularly wary of other predators, I would have been sorely disappointed, frustrated, might end up with a behavior plan and Prozac, or God forbid something much worse. And frankly, that cycle is happening all the time in shelters and rescues and homes nationwide. People think the dog has a disorder. They pathologize behaviors and instincts that we have bred into them. And then they get a treatment plan because nobody's looking at this as, well, how is this abnormal? This isn't abnormal. This is exactly what we would expect from this type of dog.
Or even this individual. This is his normal.
Right.
You're not going to necessarily be able to fix it. You might modify it somewhat. You probably have to modify your expectation, your lifestyle, and what you ask of that dog. We've run out of time. Kim Brophy is just a font of fascinating knowledge and opinion, and I love it. And you're going to come back, Kim, because we have a lot more ways to impose our brains on situations that people have put their brains to sleep. Question what you read, folks. Question it and sort of depend on, I hope you have a scintilla of common sense. Dog genomics does matter, okay? It totally does. You're going to read Kim's article, and we're not going to make you read the original article with the 24 experts because that's asking too much of you. Kim Brophy, the work you're doing is incredible. The Dog's Truth is doing such great things for dog owners everywhere. Being a family dog mediator is what you were born and bred to do. I'm sure of it. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you again for having me.